Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, delivers his message, Lessons from Saul's Conversion.
It is great to have you with us today on the CC Broadcast as we again turn our hearts towards the Lord in worship and praise and honor of who He is and what He's done on our behalf. And then we also open His Word and invite Him to speak to us. We're continuing our journey through the book of Acts, studying the foundation, the beginning, the birth of the church, and we find ourselves today at the conversion of a man who has had great impact on the earth, one who is considered really a legend in the Christian faith. And in this conversion, we see God teaching us things about Himself. Saul's conversion is found in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, and we're in chapter 7 through 9 right now. The text says this: Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Father in heaven, as we consider your word today and the work of your hand in our history, we ask that you would speak to us in our hearts about what you're doing in our lives today. Give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, and a willingness to respond in our will to what you teach us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee.
We are studying Acts. We're calling it Unstoppable. It's the birth of the church that is still in the world today, and nothing will stop it from growing, the Bible tells us. The gates of hell will not stand against it. We're in Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9, where the church is now expanding, and the good news of Jesus is now expanding outside of Jerusalem, to the north to Samaria, to the south to an Ethiopian who's near the Gaza Strip, modern-day Gaza Strip. He's converted. There's still a church based on his conversion in the world today. And we have also the church expanding through Judea and Samaria, all around that area, and even beyond, north of that. And it's going to go to the ends of the earth. But this all happened because of an incident that occurs in Acts chapter 7, and that is the stoning of Stephen, the murderous stoning of Stephen. The Bible records it this way. Stephen, who was appointed as one of the new disciples in the book of Acts, was full of grace and power. He was one appointed to help take care of widows there, but he was one anointed by the Spirit to preach and give messages and share the good news, as all of them were ready with a defense as well. And he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And then it says, some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. They were having sort of a religious, spiritual dispute or argument there in Jerusalem. But of course, Stephen was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. It's capital S in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit was empowering him with wisdom, and he was speaking probably as one with authority according to what the scripture says. He was teaching them really a whole lesson in God's work in human history. And he was talking about how every time God reached into those in Jerusalem, the religious leaders, those in Jerusalem, would reject the prophets and reject what God had to say. And then he sort of brings it to this capitulating moment where he talks about them rejecting the Messiah and crucifying Jesus. They couldn't stand it. They brought him before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. They covered their ears. It's not something they wanted to hear. They covered their ears, the text says, and yelling at the top of their voices, they just went mad. The Bible itself, you can read it and not really use your imagination. It can seem boring. But if you imagine this context, you just have to understand, this is like what happens in the world today. People go crazy. Just a few years back, we had this kind of mob violence in our cities here in the United States. People just went nuts and looted buildings and killed people and lit buildings on fire in our cities. This is what's going on here. They cover their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They rush at him, drag him out of the city, and begin to stone him. They're trying to kill him. We would call it domestic terrorism, mob violence, nothing new in a sinful and broken world. And so we have this happening, and it's the persecution, it's the first martyr in the church. Stephen is known as the first martyr. And we're introduced to a young man here who is very important to know and understand for the rest of the book of Acts, the rest of the story of the beginning of the church. The text says in Acts chapter 7, near the end, meanwhile, the witnesses, those who were watching this and those who were doing this, laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here we're introduced to Saul, also known as Paul. We saw earlier in Acts that the disciples were laying offerings at the apostles' feet. It's a sign that the apostles were their leaders and they were trusted. Here you see coats being laid by these murderers at the feet of Saul, which is symbolizing Saul is their leader and he's their trusted leader. And we see that he's a young man. And the text continues to go on and say Saul was there giving approval to their killing of Stephen. And then this is when this persecution in Jerusalem started. It says, on that day, persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Why did the church spread? Because it was being persecuted in Jerusalem. And then what happened at this time? Saul began to destroy the church there. This is how the persecution went forth. From that day forward, going from house to house, he dragged out both men and women and put them in prison, those that claimed Jesus. It was great persecution happening in Jerusalem. This drove the church out of Jerusalem and literally helped accomplish what God intended for the church. When Joseph was sold into slavery back in Genesis, it was done with evil intent by his brothers. He then went off to Egypt and was falsely accused in Egypt, put in prison for a number of years, and then through God's miraculous work, he was brought into power in Egypt at the right hand of Pharaoh, and then a famine came on the land, and Joseph's brothers had to come with his father over to Egypt, and when they saw Joseph there, they were terrified. But Joseph said to them, "What you intended for evil, God meant for good, the saving of many lives." And that is true of what's happening here. What Saul is doing for evil, God is going to use for good, for the salvation of many lives. Saul is murdering the church. He's persecuting them, putting them in prison. He is doing this terrorism, driving them out of Jerusalem. And now they are doing just what Jesus intended them to do. When Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Why didn't they leave before? I don't know. But I do know this. We human beings like our comfort. And we don't stretch ourselves very easily. Jerusalem was probably in their comfort zone. People come to Jerusalem. They were sharing the message there. The church was growing greatly there. It knew a time of great peace and growth, the Bible says. But all of a sudden, persecution rises up, and they leave doing just what Jesus said they should do, be his witnesses beyond Jerusalem. Those who had been scattered didn't just run for their lives, the Bible says. They preached the good news of Jesus wherever they went. They took this message with them. Certainly, they left Jerusalem to save their lives, but it didn't calm their passion for sharing about Jesus. And so we have the church expanding now outside of Jerusalem, and we get to our text, our lesson for the day, and this individual named Saul. Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord after they scattered. And he went to the high priest in Jerusalem and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul is going from persecuting the church in Jerusalem to having them scattered to now going to the high priest in Jerusalem to get permission to, what you might say, hunt them down. Hunt them down and bring them back as prisoners of war and put them in prison in Jerusalem. I want you to understand the passion in Saul's heart here. This is a deep, passionate hatred for believers in Jesus. When he's talking about going to the synagogues in Damascus, he's talking about going 150 miles north from Jerusalem all the way to Damascus. This is over a week's journey. They didn't have automobiles back then. He's going to go where they have scattered to the north and hunt them down all the way to Damascus, and he's getting permission to tie them up and drag them back. This is a deep hatred. I share this because this highlights the spiritual reality in our world that's going on. There is, according to the Bible, a deep spiritual battle happening on the earth between the forces of good and what God is doing and the forces of evil. Paul would later write about it this way. Our struggle or our fight or our wrestling is not against other people, but it's against the principalities, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world. And it's manifesting itself right now through a man named Saul. And it's bringing violence against the church. And of course, this is still happening in the world today. Not so much here in the United States where we have protected religious freedom. But believers in Christ are being persecuted and some of them beheaded around the world today. Paul is on his way to find these followers of the way. Notice the title given to Christians back then. The title Christian didn't come until later. It was a derogatory term used back then. But they were called followers of the way. This comes out of, most scholars believe, out of John 14, 6, when Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. This is a reference to Jesus' statement, and so they said they're followers of the way. This is what got Jesus in trouble. Why they crucified Jesus? Because he was so supposedly arrogant in saying he was the way. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And because of this supposedly heretical statement, they crucified him. And now he has followers who are being empowered by his spirit. And Saul has had enough. He wants to hunt them down. If Jesus had said, I am a way, it would have been safer for him. The world doesn't so much argue about a person who says, well, this is my way, but you can choose your way. But somehow Jesus said he was the way. And either he was or he wasn't. And the believers in Christ have come to understand the sacrifice of Jesus is the thing that opened up the doorway to heaven for people for all eternity. And there is no other way. And so they are followers of the way. And this has them on the chopping block. And Saul is hunting them down because Saul can't handle it. And neither can the religious leaders. Now I want to look at some lessons from Saul's conversion. As he was going and approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul is near Damascus, and the record says, a light from heaven came down, knocked him to his feet, and a voice said to him, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said back to him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Paul was not going after Jesus in his own mind. Jesus had already been crucified. And he was dead. He was going after this group who seemed deceived and were expanding and promoting Jesus as the way. But when Jesus appears to him, he says to him, why are you persecuting me? I want you to understand this correlation, friends. It's a lesson in Paul's conversion. Jesus loves his church as he loves himself. To fight against the church is to fight against Jesus himself. Not the individual churches that are gathered around in different denominations and groups around the world. We're talking about the one church, the invisible church of believers in the world. Those that God has claimed as his own. Those sheep that hear his voice and respond to him. They come to him and then they become a part of him. Jesus described them as being branches and him being the vine, and they're one and the same. In other places, the church is described as the bride of Christ, and the bride becomes one with the groom who is Jesus, so there is a oneness here. And Jesus is saying to Saul, yes, you're fighting against the followers of the way, but you're actually fighting against me because I'm doing my work through them in the world. They are my body. They are my bride. If you break into my home and you go after my wife, in a sense, you're going after me. And you will also have a response from me because I am her protector. I am her provider. She and I are one. And we're seeing that here in this text. Jesus sees his church as his bride. If you are a part of the church, you need to understand he loves you. He's made you a part of his family. He has a desire to protect you and to care for you. Doesn't mean that he won't allow bad things to happen, but he holds you in his hand for all eternity. And though the physical body may die, you are still his forever. To fight against his people in the world is to fight against him. We also see in the text some other things that Jesus said to him, rise and enter, said to Paul, after he knocked him to his feet, told him he was fighting against him. He said, rise and enter the city. You're not far from Damascus. He's almost made it there. You will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing this voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. I'm guessing he lost his appetite. He's in a sense of shock and stupor. He's just stumbling around, wondering what has happened. He's encountered the living Christ. There's been a grace shown to him. He'd been stopped on his own will, his own purposes. And I would just suggest this to you as a lesson in Saul's conversion. It doesn't matter how hard a person's heart is, God can soften it. It doesn't matter how evil a person's heart is, how bent towards its own will. A human will, a human being, is no challenge for God. He has knocked Saul off his feet. This murderous man who's been beating his chest with murderous threats against individuals, who is followed by many, who seems so stout in the world, just so strong in the world, is now being led by his own hand into Damascus. And he can't see, and he can't eat, and he doesn't drink because he is so humbled. It doesn't matter how hard a person's heart is. God can get their attention and soften them. I don't know if you have a hard heart today, if you're crusty in certain areas. I don't know if you have someone in your life that seems beyond God's reach. Can I just encourage you today on the basis of Paul, one of the great murderers of the early Christian community? God can soften any heart. His hand cannot be thwarted. When the hounds of heaven come after a person, that person doesn't stand a chance. Here is Saul, brought to his knees, this great murderer, this young, powerful man. Fighting against the church and God's people is the same as fighting against Jesus himself, and it doesn't matter how hard a person's heart is, God can soften it. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Now, after he arrived there, the ones he was going to tie up and bring back to Jerusalem, now he's hanging out with them. And at once, it says, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. This man has experienced a great conversion. In Jesus' words, he's been born again into the family of God. He's had a spiritual rebirth, and the one he was fighting against is now the one he is promoting, and it happened in a very short period of time. He began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God, and all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet it says, Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus, proving that Jesus was the Messiah. When a person understands that they are forgiven much by God, they will respond with great, passionate love for God. When a person understands that through Christ, all of their sins have been wiped away, and they're clean before the Almighty because of the sacrifice of Jesus, they will love him much. They will be passionate for him. But those who are forgiven little, love little. Let me ask you today, friend, do you have any understanding how many sins Jesus' blood on the cross have covered in your life? The answer to that question will be evident in how much you love him. If the evidence of your life were to be weighed, would you be found guilty of loving God? I mean, really loving him. Those who think they're forgiven a little, they love a little. But those who know they're forgiven greatly, they get a little crazy. We're going to see Paul's life unfold.
with a completely radical love for Jesus. His behavior is going to become bizarre in love for God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for allowing us to have a freedom in this country to open your word and invite it to speak to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit among us that illuminates for us the truth that you have given to us. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world so that we could have a way to be made right with you. We thank you for all those that went before us with great courage and faith, those that suffer persecution in the world today for the faith, that you would please encourage and strengthen them and use them to stir us. Father, give us ears to hear, hearts and minds to listen. Help us be available to whatever you're saying to us, anytime, anywhere, any place, to respond to your leadings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh,
His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you need it, forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our.
Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversations. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries, on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.